Lord, we come to you. We just heard someone share from their heart, from their experience, about what it meant to trust, what it meant to let go. Lord, we also heard scripture about, Lord, even the struggle that Samuel had in letting go of Saul's kingship. But Lord, as Samuel sought to follow you, to know you, to hear you, I pray that we will be open at this time, and even as an act of worship, to open ourselves to you, to let go of things we need to let go of in order to receive the fullness that you desire us to have of your love, your hope, your promise, your peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would like, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we'll be looking through verses 1 through 13 at different parts of it. And you just may want to go back and to refer to that. But I want to ask a question. Why is it so difficult to let go sometimes? And Dave's already told us that it was difficult for him to let go. And if you've never done the trust fall, when he said it was this high, he didn't mean this high from here to where I'm standing. He meant this high from here to there, but it was higher than that. Kevin has got about how high he had to stand. So, and he's right. When you're standing there and someone else is doing it, it doesn't look too bad. But when you get up there and it's your turn to do it, it's something different. And the same is true in life. Things that you see other people deal with in life seems simple and it seems like they've got it. But then you face it and it's a different perspective. So I have these questions. What is it that you are holding on to today? What situation is consuming all of your thought? You don't need to tell me. I don't need to know. Right now that's none of my business. But what situation in life is consuming all of your thought? What challenge in your life is causing you to feel like you're hitting your head against a wall constantly? What issue would you say, if I could just get this taken care of, my life would be great? When you can answer those, that's what you're holding on to. The answer to those questions tells you what you're holding on to. And then as Dave's already, I'm glad he volunteered to do that testimony he thought I was going to ask, because he's given all the illustrations I need for my sermon. Because the hardest thing about this, the hardest thing about what we're talking about is letting go. It's not recognizing what it is. When I ask you those questions, I don't know what it is, but you do. And my guess is if you really heard me, if you tried, every person in this room can think of one of those things that's that type of challenge in life that's consuming your thoughts, or that you feel like you're hitting your head against a wall, or if you just got that taken care of, your life would be so much better. It wasn't difficult for you to think of that, but my guess is it's going to be difficult for you to say, okay, I can just trust God with that and it's not going to be an issue for me anymore because God's got it. That is not that easy, because it involves trust. But if we think about it, why is trust so hard when it comes to God? God, we know, is all-knowing. God loves you unconditionally. There's not a person on the face of this earth that loves you. Justin, even your mama doesn't love you more than God does. And that's a lot. God is all-powerful. There's nothing that has more ability than God. God has promised that he's going to take care of and watch over you. So why can't we trust him to do what we just said we want to do? We know these things are consuming our thoughts. We know if these things could just get better, that our life could be better. But we've got control of it. We're not letting go of it. We're letting it consume us. Why don't we let it go? Because it's scary. Dave Miller, when he was standing up there, he had seen he was even a part of them catching me, them catching Matt Ward. He knew that we were going to catch him. But it wasn't easy. And it's not easy for us. But it will make a difference. So let's look at this for a minute. So Samuel was struggling. We can tell in the first couple of verses there in chapter 16 that Samuel was struggling in this whole thing of letting go of Saul. Now, he had had some issues with Saul. If you go back and read, Saul didn't do everything like Samuel said God was supposed to. And so Samuel went toe-to-toe with Saul a few times. But he had also invested a lot in this relationship with Saul because he did what God told him to in that way. So there are times that I believe we have a hard time letting go of those situations because of everything we've invested in it, everything we've got wrapped up in it, all of how at times it may even define us. So we're invested in those situations that we have a hard time letting go of, just like Samuel was invested in the situation with Saul. But if we look at what Samuel did in verse 3, he had a conversation with God. Well, the whole thing was a conversation, but he said in verse 3, or God said, "Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You're to anoint for me the one I indicate." So Samuel's had this conversation and God's responding to him. He had an honest conversation with God. And God said he would show him what to do. Now, I'm going to assume something this morning, and I'm assuming that there's a relationship between you and God. And if it's not, that's where we need to begin. And there will be a time at the end of this service that the most important thing you can do today, the most important thing you can do in your life, is to begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. And I would be more than happy to have that conversation with you. And there's several others in this room that could too. And there's nothing more important that you will do. But I'm going to assume the majority of us understand, at least to some degree, that you have that relationship and that God does love you and that Jesus Christ died on the cross because of your sins and he loved you that much and he paid the price for that and rose again after 3 days, which we'll be celebrating in a few weeks. So we have that relationship with God. That's where it begins. But then we also seek God. And so God has said he's going to give an answer. And I'm telling you, those things that you're struggling with, those things you're beating your head against the wall about, those things that are consuming your thought, those things that if you could just change it, everything would be okay. God is listening. God wants to be a part of that. God desires to have a conversation with you, and it's a two-way conversation. It's not just you sit down and say, "God, I'm struggling with this. I'm having a hard time," and then you get up and God fixes it. That's, although at times we think that's the way prayer is supposed to work, that's not the way prayer works. It's a conversation. You can expect God to respond to you. And I'm going to give you an example of something that happened this week. And some of you might be tempted to say, "No, Greg, I think that's just something you kind of put together because it sounds good in your sermon. Maybe you took it." I am not one bit of this is exaggerated. I want you to know what can happen and what can happen with you. This week, it had been actually for a few weeks, there was this person that was just on my mind. It's somebody that I hadn't seen, I hadn't talked to in months, maybe even a year. And they just kept being impressed with me. So one morning in my office, I prayed for this person. Then after praying, I sent them a text and said I was just thinking about them. I hope they were doing okay. And I'd prayed for them and their family that day, and maybe we would bump into each other soon. That's basically what I said. No big deal. I got a phone call that evening. And this person who I hadn't talked to in some time, they hadn't been in touch with me. I was away doing something else. I couldn't talk to them at the moment, but I answered the phone because I was a little bit surprised they called, and they said, "Call me back when you get a chance." So as soon as I could, I called them back, and they said, "Greg, first of all, I really appreciate that text that you sent me today. It meant a lot. But I got to tell you, it scared me to death." I said, "What do you mean?" I didn't say it. I told you what I said. That didn't sound scary to me. And this person said, "You know, you don't know it, but there's some stuff that I've been dealing with." I said, "It's not big stuff, but it's some stuff that just been bothering me. I knew I needed to deal with. So for the first time in a while, I really sat down and I prayed. And it wasn't that big a deal. I only prayed for about 5 minutes. But that was last night. And then this morning I got that text from a preacher. And I told this person, I said, you know, I was really and truly just thinking about you. I ain't got a clue what you're going through. If you want to, I'd be glad to talk to you sometime. But you know what I really think happened? Was God just wants you to know that He heard your prayer last night. And He's the one that you're going to, and He wants to communicate with you, and He wants to help you through this. That happened this week with this person that was very surprised by that. We as believers, if we live in the way God wants us to, that's not surprising. Because God desires to do that and does do that every day, and it becomes an expected part of that ongoing conversation that Samuel gives us an example of. This isn't just biblical stuff. This stuff happens today too. And so we need to claim it. We need to claim the conversations that God wants to have with us. And then we need to be willing to listen. And that's a part of this whole letting go process of things that are holding us back from being the people God calls us to be. But that oversimplifies it a little bit, because if you keep looking and you look in verses 6 through 10, we have to fight the tendency to take back the control of the situation ourselves. Because you know this person that I talked to, and I'm planning on following up with and finding out how things are going, I know well enough to know that even though they prayed, and even though they're probably feeling like, okay, God's a part of this and I'm excited about this, there's going to get to a point that probably God's going to have a conversation with them, but then they're going to get glimpses of something they hadn't seen before, and then they're ready to take everything back and they're ready to fix it and figure it out how it's going to happen. You've never done that, have you? But that's what we do, because that's a part of our humanness. But we have to fight that tendency. In verse 7, this is what we read. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So this was a specific situation about a relationship of who was going to be called to be the next king. But I tell you, in the situations that we face, we have a very limited perspective. The God who desires to have a conversation with us, that wants to help you face that thing that you thought about from the very beginning, sees a much different picture than what you and I see. And God has a plan, and God has a desire. So when we get just a small glimpse and God begins helping us, that doesn't mean that we take the reins back and say, God, I see what you're talking about. I got this now. And go on our own. No. We continue to allow God to lead and guide us. And it doesn't mean we sit back and don't do anything, but we do what God leads and guides us to do. We don't do it without going to Him. We don't do it without continuing that conversation with God. So then if we continue to the last part of today's message, God's will, what God desires to happen in the midst of the struggle, the challenge, the thing that's consuming your thought that you're facing right now, God's will in that situation is worth the wait. Look at verse 11 at what Samuel did. And this is what I challenge us to do. Verse 11, it says, so he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Now, I've read this scripture a lot of times, but it's the first time that that's hit me. I don't know how far away the field was. I don't know who was going to get him and how long it was going to take him to get back. But Samuel said, look, this is a big deal, and we aren't just going to sit down and gab and stuff. We're going to stand. We aren't even sitting down until this person you're talking about gets back. And there are times we need to be that insistent about finding and knowing the will of God. God wants us to be that passionate about knowing and hearing and following His will. And when we are, when we do that, He honors it. If we continue and we look at the very end, verse 13, It says, so Samuel took the horn of oil, this is after David gets there, and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. The Spirit of the Lord comes powerfully. And you know the story about David in the Scriptures. You know the king that he became. You know that he was very much favored with God. Everybody knows the accomplishments. Not everybody. Lots of people know the accomplishments of David. And he's heralded as one of probably the greatest king of the Old Testament. All of Psalms are the writings of David. And sermons are preached from them every Sunday, probably every day. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David, on this situation, on what Samuel was doing in that midst. And I want to tell you, the same God, the same power, the same Holy Spirit comes powerfully, just as powerful on the situation that you are thinking about, the situation that you're facing, the situation that you're struggling with today. That same power. So you know there are things God desires to do in that situation, with your life, with the lives of people you can't even imagine yet that are tangentially connected to what you're dealing with, that God wants to rock this world if we're just willing to allow that. He's not going to force it. But we've got to let go, and we've got to let God, just like Dave Miller told. So are you willing to do that? And if you're not, why not? I'd love to have that conversation with you. I know, I don't say it's easy. But do you actually believe in God? Do you trust God? Do you think He loves you? Do you think He's got the power and ability? Because I hope we can take that one off the table. Are you going to let go? If you do, I believe your life can be different. And God desires that. And you know what else? We're here and we come here, and today you may have heard this about something. This is something we can receive. But you know, what we're here for is supposed to not be about us, but it's supposed to be about God. We're not the audience. God is the audience. So as we pay attention to God, in order to worship God, in order to give God what God desires and wants and yearns, this is another way we worship God, is by letting go. And then we're able to give things to God we can't give to God right now, because we're so distracted, we're so pulled in directions God doesn't desire us to be, we can't be and give God what God deserves. So to let go and let God is a part of the worship that all of us are being called to today. So I urge you to respond. Either one, if you don't have a relationship where you understand or know how to do that, let's talk about that relationship. And I'd love to help you with that. And I know some of you haven't been here and been a part of it. We have several small groups. And I think the small groups, and some of them meet right after this time. There are others that meet at different times during the week. But these small groups are times that we can get in and we can have these conversations about what that feels like and what that looks like. That helps us grow in that relationship by having communication and conversation with each other. And God speaks through that. But at other times, we just need to learn to trust. And sometimes we need somebody walking beside us. And you know what Matt Ward did? Dave Miller, come up here. I was going to get Matt, but I'm not going to have Matt come up here quite yet. Dave was turned around, and he was going to fall back about how many feet, Kevin? 5-6 foot. And he couldn't get himself to do it. He tried, and he was doing this. And he couldn't fall. So correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but I think all Matt did was take his hand and put it on his chest. And I don't think you ever pushed. So he said, well, maybe not too much. But the thing is, he didn't push Dave off. If Dave had wanted to, he could have kept from falling. But he put just enough to offer that help. And you can have a seat now, Dave. There are times we need that help from each other. So we walk side by side. We don't do this by ourselves. I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll come on up, and we're going to close and sing it. And there's a congregation here. There's a body of believers here. And we represent a lot more than who are here today, not just as a part of Woodland Baptist Church, but the body of believers, the Church of Christ. And as we do that for each other, we become examples for those around us who yearn to be able to do that, to live that type of life. There are people who are miserable and they want something different. And if they see us living that type of life, they yearn to be in the community that does that. It's great if somebody wants to come and be a part of Woodland Baptist Church, but it excites me so much more to know that they want to be a part of having a relationship with God and being in a community of people, whether it's at church or whether it's at wherever it may be, where they feel like their life is changed because of the strength, the power, the ability they get. And they may not know it initially, but that it comes from God and allows them to experience life differently. May not change their situation around them, but it allows them to deal with that situation in a way that changes them. So I invite you to respond. Whether you can come forward, I'd love to pray with you. You don't have to come through me. You can kneel and pray today if there's a specific situation that you want to pray about. But respond not just now, but as we head to our small groups, as you head back home, whatever you may do, respond as God would lead, because you didn't come here today and God say, just come sit here and listen and then leave and everything's going to be the same. God never does that. So let's stand together and sing The Solid Rock, hymn number 406.
We'll sing the first three verses.